Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Plug in, feel the pulse on Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit.
And that was Donny McClack and All I Really Wanted. And it was you. I thought I wanted fame. I thought I wanted it all. But now I realized all I need and all I want is you. And before that, it was Naledi Shwe Shwe Speaking Tongues. And that's how we played out from the 2 o'clock news bulletin. And yes, my family, hello to you. If you just joined us, this is Heart to Heart with you up until 3 o'clock right here on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion on 657 AM. I'm with you. I'm Sibongile Mofokeng with you up until 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, Germany Johannes will be with you on something else. I'm now joined by another queen. Usizanele Mahlabangani. Hi, my queen. How are you?
Hi, my love. I'm good. Thanks. And how are you?
I am blessed of the Lord. My queen, am I on speaker?
Sorry?
Oh, am I on speaker?
No, you're not.
Ah, okay. It sounded a little
bit. But I can also hear some background from your side.
All right. Let's try this and then let's see. Just hold it right there, my queen. I'm coming back. And so let's do this as I reconnect with my queen again and just check what's going on, why the sounds, because we want to hear all about what God has done in Sisanele's life. And before I do this, let me just remind the ladies, the queens, amantombazana, and I know that the ladies will always say, we don't always want to be in Bogoto. But I want to say to you, Radio Pulpit will be celebrating Women's Day on Friday, this Friday, the 9th of August, in an exceptional way. Tune into Radio Pulpit and join Genelibi Long, join Esti Geldenis, and join Ayanda Nenemba to pray for our country from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. We call upon all women in South Africa to set time apart, even just for an hour, to pray with us. Let us invite friends and family to pray together for our country. And you can visit radiopulpit.co.za for the Women Day prayer. Men, you're also welcome to pray with us.
Become active. Active in faith. 657 AM.
Sitshele ukuthi ucabangani. Sicela ukuzwa uvo lwakho. Ungasithinta ku gospel@radiopulpit.co.za noma usithumele iWhatsApp ku 082-657-2729. Radio Pulpit, umngani wakho wemihla ngemihla.
Phulaphula iRadio Pulpit, ukhanyiseleke kweli lizwe eliminyama. Zivulele ngokwakho i-app yethu okanye umamele kuradiopulpit.co.za. Siyafumaneka ku-DSTV Audio Channel 882. Ukanti sikhona naku-OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. Umhlobo wakho wemihla ngemihla.
That's where you're at. 21 minutes, just after 2, and I'm with my queen, Usizanele. How are you, my queen? Hello, my queen? Okay. Yeah, you are breaking. I don't know now what happened. Did you move?
There's no reception here. That's fine. Go back to where I was sitting.
Yeah.
You know, just let me know if you can hear me.
You are so perfecto now. Perfecto mundo.
Yes, I can hear you.
I'm glad you moved back because you were gone. Welcome to Heart to Heart.
Thank you so much. And thanks for having me.
So, my queen, we are here to share your journey with the Lord, with your beautiful and handsome young king, and the king that you raised, the king that you loved, and the king that at some point you had to say goodbye. We will see you in the morning. Now let's start from when you found out that he was coming and you were getting ready to welcome this beautiful, beautiful gift from the Lord Uthando Lubanzi.
Yes. What a journey it has been. So, Uthando Lubanzi was born on the 9th of September 2009. And my pregnancy was very good. There were no issues whatsoever. I didn't even have morning sicknesses. And by the grace of God as well, I dreamt of his name. So Thando Lubanzi was named before he was even born. And on the day that he was born, unfortunately, I was in labor for 3 days.
Okay.
And I gave birth at a public hospital, natural birth. And according to the doctors and the nurses, everything was fine. We were discharged the following day. We went home. Everything was fine. 3 months down the line, my mom could pick up that Bandy was a bit of a floppy baby. Like, his head was not so strong to be to be held up on his own. And then the symptoms that we started seeing, then he started having seizures. But also, it wasn't your normal epileptic seizures where he would have jerking. It was more like a hiccup. And when it happened, then we took him to a GP. We got there and we explained the type of this thing that he was having. And then the doctor said, no, we need to refer you back to the hospital because he does not have any flu, because normally kids have seizures sometimes when they have having flu.
Okay.
So at this stage, there was no flu. He was fine, but he was having these episodes. So we got a referral. We went to Para. At Para, while we were at the waiting room, then he had the seizures again. And I alerted one of the nurses. The nurses, because it was something new to her as well, he was not aware. He's like, no, these are not seizures. Until a doctor intervened and said, wow, these are actually seizures. They are a special type of seizures. They are called infantile spasms. And we were admitted right there and there. We were in hospital for close to 6 months while the doctors were trying to establish what exactly is triggering the seizures. So a form of them being able to do the diagnosis, we need to do a brain scan and a CT scan and an MRI scan. And when the scans came out, then he was diagnosed with lysencephaly. Apparently during pregnancy, there was a period where his brain stopped growing. And when it grew, then it grew abnormally. So the grooves of his brain were not as normal as yours and mine.
Okay.
That's why now the body was now malfunctioning. So during our 6 month stay at Barra, knowing that it's an academic hospital, and apparently this is one of the very few cases where it's one in a million. And part of the studies that they were trying to do, they were trying to find out if I was exposed to an X-ray, of which I had never even been sick while I was pregnant. So, because apparently kids that are born with this type of condition are based in countries where there's a lot of radiation. So they sat me down and they told me, this is the situation. Unfortunately, your boy is a special child. He will never be normal. Everything of his is going to be slow, developmental delay. And unfortunately, with this condition comes very aggressive seizures. And what seizures do, they regress a person. So it may happen that he reaches some of his milestone, and if not monitored or if not medicated, for whatever reason, when he has seizures, then he will regress. And they were all part of the spectrum of the diagnosis. There's lots of other conditions that come with it, like your respiratory issues.
Yes.
A lot of them that we now, they only came later in the as he was growing, of which we picked up things also like he was having difficulty swallowing. Where he had to be put on a peg, so he was feeding through a peg. And because every time he would eat, food go to his lungs, causing him to have pneumonia. So we're in hospital most of the time trying to treat the pneumonia. And fast forward, after being discharged, I had to quit my job because I had to look after him. After finding out that he's a special needs child, he will forever be in need of therapy. And then I just took a break. I was like, he's dead. And I sat down and said, unfortunately, unfortunately, let's just take a break and I'll look after him, because there's lots of therapy and doctor appointments that need to be done, of which not any company would understand. And at the time, I was also young. It was something new to me.
Mm.
There was denial in between. And yeah, it's been a journey.
Sure. So when you receive all such kind of news, let me ask first, when Banzi was born, were you already saved? Did you have a relationship with Christ?
Yes, yes, I did. I did. Like I said, part of Banzi's journey started before he was even born, because for me, having the name or dreaming of the name or naming him Thando Banzi, it's derived from the song Uthando Lukababa Lubanzi Luchulile. So subconsciously, I knew that God has loved me to bless me with this type of child, and I also need God's love and God within me to help me raise this type of child. And I need Uthando Olubanzi as wide as the sea, because it's not an easy journey.
Sure.
And through our journey, I could also see God carrying me through and through, showing me the endless love of having a special needs child, even in difficulty.
So when you get such a diagnosis, I mean, you're young, yes, you have a relationship with Jesus, and you are a daughter in the kingdom of God, and then you get such news, and you spoke about even denial. How did the whole thing affect you, and how did you come back from denial to say, no, I need to love this young man and connect it with God giving you the name even before he was born? So before all of that, how did it land on you, and how did you deal with that denial?
I was open to help. I was open to learning. I was opening and praying all the time that God holds my hands and opens my mind around the diagnosis, and also not to be limited under the diagnosis, because as much as with any diagnosis, people are different. I remember at some point in time while we were in hospital, a mother said to me, Your child doesn't even look sick. He's healthy, he's chubby, he's smiling, he doesn't look sick. And I'm like, just because there's no bandages, just because there's no drips, it does not make him not to be sick. There's lots of things that are not seen by the eye that he's experiencing, and that's why we're here. We wouldn't be in hospital if he wasn't sick. And with the denial, it also came with that, because when they give you the diagnosis, you go back home and you start researching. So I would go on the internet and look it up, and all these videos that I could see of these kids with the same diagnosis were so extreme. At some point in time, I thought to myself, maybe the doctors are not being truthful to me. And we actually went for a second opinion. There's a doctor, I think he used to be at Park Lane. We booked, and because he's a very busy doctor, he's a neurologist who was booked in advance. I think we only got an appointment 6 months later, of which we went there with the scans and everything, sat him down and said, this is our journey, this is how far we've walked, and we just want to find out what's happening. Is whatever we've been told true, and how do we navigate? He sat us down, he took a pen, he did drawings. He actually made us to better understand at the time what to expect and what my son was going through. And he actually confirmed the diagnosis. Like, well, based on the scans, the tests, and the treatment that Banzi's on, he's definitely got this condition.
Okay.
But like I say, I could take videos, I could take pictures. He was nothing like other kids with the same diagnosis, because his journey was his own alone, and it was ours alone. And part of that made me to be in denial, to say, they're saying my child's got this condition, but he doesn't look like other kids that have this condition. Until later, when it just started catching up, to say, okay, now we're dealing with a child that's got recurring pneumonia. Now we're dealing with a child that doesn't talk. Now he was sitting, and all of a sudden he can't sit up on his own anymore. And he's growing, and, you know, then it started kicking in that it might not have happened earlier, but it's happening now. which it needs me to now understand and accept the diagnosis.
Sure. So how did you balance accepting the diagnosis and at the same time accepting God's word? And I think this is where most parents find it very difficult with dealing with a diagnosis and also accepting the word of God and bringing the two together in a ring, because you know that at the end of the day, whatever happens, all things work together. But how did you balance that?
Yeah, it took one of those moments where I took him for one of his doctor's appointments. So I'm an African woman. I'm a spiritual person, and I believe in ancestors, and, you know, as much as I also believe in God, I'm a born-again Christian. So while navigating through this journey of having a special needs child, someone's going to come to you and tell you, try this. Someone's going to tell you, you know, if you see this, it means this. You know, everyone's got an opinion. Everyone knows more than, appears to know more than you know, even though they've never walked the journey. And for the longest time in my family and people around, like in the community, there was a lot of misconceptions of it could be abandabadala, it could be something that's missing from an aspect of doing a certain ritual for the child, of which I went through all of those things. I tried this and that. I went, maybe unenyoni, there's things that are sometimes said, maybe nyoni, makangaphuminyoni, this thing of his head being loose, it's going to be fixed. And you try all of those things. And at the same time, during denial, you also have the thought, you have thoughts that come into your mind where you think, you know? And then one day, we went to the doctor's appointment, and as we were sitting there waiting to go into the doctor's room, and I can remember it was a neurologist. So there were other kids with a similar diagnosis, obviously different, but, and I sat and I thought to myself, if really and truly what's being said, or my thoughts, part of having the denial, saying my child was bewitched, and I'm black, and we believe these things only happen to black people. There's an Indian lady that's sitting next to me with the same child. There's a white guy, their family. Nabo, they've got a child with special needs, with CP, same diagnosis. Bona. And it dawned upon me, it can only be God. God trusted me to have this child and walk this journey. It's got nothing to do with witchcraft. It's got nothing to do with something that my parents didn't do or something in the lineage of the paternal side. It's just my gift from God. And I, from that day, I need to accept, this is my journey. This is my gift, and I need to embrace it. And everything and anything, I must just focus on God and pray and ask for his guidance in anything that has to do with my child. And on that very day, that's when I also stopped to going and consulting to say, there's imbiza somewhere in Puzisa, there's this. I stopped right there and there on that day. I'm like, there is no way this white woman is going to go ayothola imbiza. Umntana kufana nowami. So I'll walk this journey with God.
Sure, that is like something else, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is something else. So you are tried and tested in all ways, and you find yourself in this situation. So your journey with God starts. What were the prayers that, or what were you asking God for? Were you saying to the Lord, heal him? Or what were you saying unto the Lord? Because also, we know that the word says, and he healed all their diseases. We believe his word. We trust and we stand in his word. Yet sometimes we are not quite sure what is the end. For some, the Lord says, I will heal. For some, I've spoken to mothers who said to me, God said he will heal my child after he has passed on. And I remember there's a mother that said to me, I also made a bargain with God to say, can you keep him until he's 21? I want to celebrate with him until he's 21. So what were the prayers that you were asking for from God?
The first prayer I prayed, I remember, I normally tell people this, that I've seen God. God has literally showed himself in a room in that ward that I was in on that day. So on that day, the seizures were so bad. He was having like more than five in a period of less than 2 or 3 hours. And I could see that he's in pain. And every time he would have seizures, he would have this deep sleep. And I was scared. I was saying, clearly my child is in pain. And God, please make up your mind. It's either you heal my child from all that's happening to him, or you call him. You call him as a good way to rest, because I can't take this. Hmm. This is not what I asked for. When I was pregnant, I was praying and saying, please give me a healthy baby. Please give me strength to raise a child. This is not what I asked for. And immediately after I said that prayer, there was just this light. It was during the day. There was just this sharp light that came up. And I cried. I sobbed as if someone had passed on at the time, and until I was able to contain myself. And fast forward 3 days later, the seizures had stopped. And for me, that was an answer, saying, God is saying, I'm here for you. I'm here with you. Whatever you asked in my name, I shall give it to you. Yes, the seizures were still there even after we were taking medication, but it got better once I had that conversation to God to say, you know what, I'm struggling, it's difficult, I don't know how to handle this, and my child is in pain. Please make up your mind. I think on that day when he was having these multiple seizures, God was inviting me. He wanted me to have the conversation and pour out my heart on how I feel about the situation.
Mm.
And fast forward, when we're discharged, I always, my prayer after I had stopped being in denial, after going for therapy and praying and, you know, just seeking guidance, all I was asking God was, whether you take him now or you take him in years to come, can he just not be in pain?
Yes.
The worst thing that as a parent, as a mother, you can experience is seeing your child going through pain. So my prayers were always around pain, to say, this is my child, he's innocent, he doesn't deserve this, and I'm feeling it, I'm feeling the pain. If I could swap places, I would do it, but just God, please spare him the pain.
Hmm.
And there are numerous occasions where I could tell you, which Ubanzi would go to a casualty when there's an emergency, and they would prick him, they couldn't find veins because he was in hospital a lot of times, so had collapsed. But not even once would he cry from being pricked 5 to 10 times of doctors trying to find the veins.
Hmm.
And only now, when I'm sitting and thinking that my prayers were heard, there's procedures that would be performed on him where he wouldn't cry. Hmm. He wouldn't even show signs of pain, because I had been praying for that. So God, as much as difficult as this may be, can my child not be in pain?
Hmm.
There was a period of time where he went for a spinal fusion. The operation period was supposed to be 9 hours. It went for 12 hours. He was now in distress and over bleeding. I kid you not, the people that normally have spine operations, the healing journey is like between 6 to 2 years, even more. But with Banzi, in 3 months' time,
what?
The actual wound had healed. He was gaining weight. He was being himself. And I continue praying to God and saying, can my child not be in pain? Can you heal him?
Did you ever ask God why you?
Yes. Yes, a lot of times, especially when I was in denial or when difficult times came during the journey, I would ask myself, why me? Because there was even an instance where I would feel as if my peers are living their lives. They are not stuck at home looking after kids. Like, you would invite me and say, let's go, there's a church conference or there's a party going on or someone's getting married. I would agree. I would RSVP. The day comes, I'm getting ready. I get into the car, I start driving, I get a call, Banzi is not well, I need to turn back.
Mm.
So my life has been that type of a life up until God called Banzi. And I had accepted it to say, if you're not going to be my friend, or if you're going to find offense in the fact that my child comes first and I need to drop everything to attend to him, then it's fine. I'm not going to have friends. Then it's fine. I'm going to have issues with family members. If me prioritizing my child is going to be an issue at work, then so be it. This is the life that God has chosen for me, and may all the people that are around me accept that. But sure. It started with me. I needed to make that call to say, even when I prayed for the current job that I have now, I've had this job for more than 10 years now, I prayed for it. And not a single day have I picked up the phone and said to my boss, my son is not feeling well. And she would say to me, no, come to work, or I needed to do this before. Literally from day one, she had said, whenever your child needs you, go. You can explain yourself later. You can even call me from the car while you're going to hospital, or you can skip work as long as you attend to your son. And so, we had that relationship to say, I also understand that should now everything be okay, I need to catch up, I need to work, I need to deliver. Because I'm already having this understanding boss that's there for me, that's vouching for me. The least I can do is also return the favor by being a good employee.
So now, how did the journey with Banzi and God change you? How did it work on you personally, as a Christian and as a mom, as a woman?
True. I started seeing things from a spiritual point of view and not from the naked eye. I started understanding that things that happen to us and things that we go through are mainly because of God, because God allows them to happen, and because God wants us to experience and learn certain lessons from them. I learned patience from being Banzi's mom. I learned to pray, to fast, to talk to God and have a deeper relationship and conversations with him. Because there were many times where I prayed and I could see things happening. There were also many times where I prayed and I thought things were not happening, but behind the scenes they were happening. I can count a number of times where things like operations needed to happen and money wasn't there, and I would give up, but I continue praying and God would make a way. I would find a doctor that says, it's fine, you don't have to pay me now. You can pay me in installments. I would get people that would hold my hand and say, if this is not working, let's try this. You know, and it's daily prayers, it's prayers and conversations that I had with God that made me to have that relationship to God, to say everything starts and ends with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. And now Banzi has gone to be with the Lord. When that happened, were you ready? And how did it affect you afterwards?
I was not ready. I think, like, I have painted the picture that Banzi's condition was very medically demanding. There were a lot of times where Banzi would be so sick, even with pneumonia or anything, where I would maybe have to leave the hospital, go home to change, and I would live with that thing that I don't think I'll find my child
alive.
Still alive. You know? And he would pull through, you know. And this time around, for the past, now I'm not sure of my timelines, but we went to hospital. He was admitted for pneumonia. And for some reason, because of his condition, his lungs were now very weak. And what made that as well, there was a period of time before he had the spinal fusion where his ribs were resting on the lung. So one of the lungs was just weaker than the other.
Okay.
And so we went in, we were in hospital for 3 weeks, and he just couldn't get off oxygen. Every time they would take him off oxygen, he said would saturate. And we tried and tried, but now everything was fine. He was able to cough on his own. He was fine, but now he just couldn't get off oxygen. So the pulmonologist, his treating pulmonologist, said, you know what, another form of a child or a patient to recover is for them to be under familiar surroundings. So I'm thinking because we are not winning with winning him off oxygen, let's get him a home oxygen and you will win him off at home. Mm-hmm. So he organized that. And then I remember once medical aid had approved because they were now declining, they didn't want to give us the home oxygen. Finally, when they approved, I asked the doctor, so what happens if we, even at home, we can't wean him off the oxygen? And the doctor said, you know what? I don't work with those. I don't work with what if. Banzi has been with us for so long. He's a strong man. I know he'll fight this. So please, can you remove that thought that he will never be off oxygen?
Okay.
Go home and focus on the recovery. And we did that. We went home. Started gaining weight. The breathing was okay when he was in a sitting position, but when he was in a lying position, he would saturate, so we would have to now increase the oxygen. Fast forward 2 weeks later, the weight is good because we were also struggling with that because he had pressure sores as well, which complicated the whole thing again. On the day he passed, 4 days before he passed, he was now himself. He was trying to lift himself up into a sitting position, something that he has not done in 6 years or more.
Wow.
He was trying so hard to have conversations with us. He was smiling. You could now literally pick up giggles from him, something that he couldn't do for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
And the day that he passed on, we have routines with special needs kids. You have routines. So we woke up, gave him a bath, gave him a feed, put him on his chair because he's been sleeping through the night. So we want to, exercise and do some exercises for him. And as we were putting him on his wheelchair, he shed a tear. Like I said to you, Banzi was not a crybaby. He was not a child that would cry, anyhow. If he cries, you must know he's in serious pain, and I would immediately act on that. So when he shed a tear, I was worried. I was thinking maybe he's in pain, so immediately I gave pain medication. And it was time for him to have his during-the-day medication we gave, and it was time for him to have his nap. We lay him down on the bed. And for some reason, something said to me, I must go check up on him. So this time he's at home and he's got a home nurse. So the home nurse is like, no, because we also give water in between. She came to me and she said, the water is not going through. I don't know what am I doing wrong. And I went to check. As I walked into his bedroom, I could see that he's already changing color. The oxygen is on. It's on full mode. And immediately, because when a person changes color, you know that he's not having enough oxygen. So as I came up to him, I could see that he's no more. He's passed on in his sleep. It's just that we didn't pick it up. And so he passed away peacefully in his sleep. And we were never prepared for that because, like I'm saying, in those days he was lively, he was himself. We were happy that, finally there's a breakthrough, he's recovering. But unfortunately, or fortunately, he was recovering to be with the Lord.
Now, my queen, we have, I think we will put this as part one because we need to help somebody heal on this journey. The journeys that they also have with their own children or their loved ones that they are taking care of. I know that the Lord has ministered unto you. You are ministering unto others. Because of time right now, I'm going to just allow you to talk to that family that finds themselves where they are not quite sure what they are dealing with. And if the child is going to make it or not, or if their loved one is going to make it or not. And I'm going to also allow you to minister to that family that just got the news that he is no more in 2 minutes.
Okay, firstly, I would like to say to that family, we all belong to God. And through our diagnosis that we receive from doctors, we can actually, if you as a mother, as a parent, as a father, you've just received the diagnosis, you can have someone else pass away in a car accident, in other forms behind besides illnesses or sicknesses. So we should never give up and say just because I've received this diagnosis, it means I'm going to die. It's not the end of the world. Who God chooses when to take it, it's up to Him. Even us as parents, we stand a chance of passing on and leaving our special needs kids behind. It's all God's plan. We've got no hold over it whatsoever. I would pray and ask and seek God's guidance on that particular family, just surrendering everything to God and saying, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know where to start. Give me the strength. Send your angels my way so that I can walk this journey. And I promise you, God will do that.
Wow. My queen, thank you so much for sharing with us. We will come back where we will have enough time to minister to those and give them strength. Thank you so much for talking to us today. May the Lord keep strengthening you on this journey. And thank you for being an awesome mom who loved her son with all that she had, gave him everything that you could. And may God keep keeping you. And thank you so much that when I spoke to you, you said we are here and think everything happened to us so that we can minister to others. It's not about us, but it's about others. May the Lord keep you. So if we'd like to be in contact with you, are you available or should we reach you via your Facebook page?
Yes, I'm available. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on WhatsApp. And I'm also a phone call away. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to hold hands with those beloved mothers and fathers for them to walk the journey with their special needs child. And before going off, I just want to send my deepest gratitude to people like you that open platforms for us and advocate for our kids. I'd also like to thank my family who's been with me through thick and thin, my boss, my husband. I just love them. And my daughter, everyone that's been in my life and in Banzi's life, thank you so much.
Thank you. May God keep you. Love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
And family, she is Zanele on Facebook. Zanele Za Mahlabangani. Zaneleza Mahlabangani. Alternatively, you can talk to her on her WhatsApp number 082-549-9188. I am signing out. I hope that you have been strengthened. If God was able to take her out, he's able to take you out as well. And then say hello to Frank Jacobs, Anthony, Sam, is it Sambo Graphics, and Pastor Lucas Nkosi, and all family members of Radio Pulpit. Let's meet tomorrow at 9 o'clock. I'm signing out, and we say hello to Germany, Johan Elson, something else.
Give your faith wings. Explore life with 657 AM.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.